You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. Two property owners are relocating as Tillamook County grapples with longstanding infrastructure issues in Hebo. Tillamook County commissioners recently approved the purchase of two properties on Big Trout and Island Roads in the unincorporated area after bridges to the properties repeatedly failed. The bridges are owned and maintained by the county. County Public Works Engineer Brian Oley told commissioners a temporary bridge meant to buy time after one of the bridges failed did not even last a year and a half. He says the bridge over Three Rivers initially failed over 2 years ago, at which point it was replaced with a temporary structure. Oley says that replacing the bridge would cost several million dollars. The county and Public Works decided relocating the property owners was the most cost-effective solution. The county's purchase agreements include relocation assistance for the property owners. The cost, totaling more than $760,000, will be paid out of the county's Public Works Department budget. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Firefighting crews are stretched thin as they scramble to contain dozens of wildfires across Oregon. Thousands of lightning strikes last week sent Oregon's fire season into overdrive. Hot and dry weather helped the fires explode in size. Wildfires are now burning more than 270,000 acres across the state. The largest of the fires are Hay Creek Complex in Gilliam and Sherman counties, and the Roe Creek Complex in Wheeler, Wasco, and Crook counties. The Oregon Department of Forestry only has three complex incident management teams available, and all three have been deployed. Crews from Washington and California have come to help Oregon firefighters. The hot and dry weather is expected to continue this week. The eel-like fish known as Pacific lamprey get little love from the uninitiated. With their toothy maw used to suck blood from fish, they perhaps have the most unflattering smile in the animal kingdom. But to many people, these ancient critters are important as both an indicator species and a food source for tribal people. KLCC's Brian Bull reports on ongoing efforts to restore their numbers across Oregon waterways and beyond.
It's a sunny day at Coyote Creek, 10 miles west of Eugene. A large truck is parked by an old bridge spanning the water. Aldwin Keogh greets a crowd of people who've come to learn about his special cargo.
I work with the Confederate Traps of Warm Springs. I'm the lamprey biologist. I translocate lamprey from Bonneville back to my Warm Springs reservation.
Translocation is moving adult fish from rivers to waterways above dams. Keogh says it's his first year helping the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, or CRITFIC, with this operation. He's got 100 lamprey from John Day and Bonneville, which he'll release here and in the Long Tom River, where they've not been a regular sight for 75 years. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service deems them a species of concern. Keogh says the larvae help clean the creek beds.
They're filter feeders. They clean out whatever is in the sediment. That's where they stay for many years before they go out to the ocean.
It's important to note that the Pacific lamprey is a welcome and important part of this ecosystem, unlike the invasive sea lampreys that historically have caused fish declines in the Great Lakes region. Courtney Goltz, a lamprey biologist who also works with the tribe, says CRITFIC's efforts have gone on for 20 years, but dam development has hindered their migration.
And the upper Willamette tributaries are areas that have been completely impassable to lamprey for decades. So these are reintroductions to areas that do not have Pacific lamprey, and as of today, they now do.
The fisheries team takes the lamprey down to Coyote Creek in large plastic buckets. The fish loop and squirm over each other before slipping into the water. Elizabeth Goward, Community Engagement Manager for the Mackenzie River Trust, engages a few kids who wonder why the lamprey have already snuck under logs and rocks.
They can tell that it's bright out, and so they're more likely to get eaten by things like birds, foxes, and coyotes. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Getting lamprey love going is a bit of a sell. Their round, toothy maws used to clamp onto fish are startling, and even inspired a 2014 made-for-TV horror movie called Blood Lake, Attack of the Killer Lampreys.
These lampreys, they're hungry, determined, and they're dangerous.
No, it's not like that.
Raymond Ellenwood Jr. is a fisheries technician with the Nez Perce tribe. At another remote location near Hills Creek Dam outside Oak Ridge, he and a few others are releasing lamprey at a former Boy Scout campsite.
Okay, last group, you want to let a couple more go?
The goal is to have adult lamprey stay and mate, creating little lampreys called amacetes. Ellenwood and fellow technician Jared Wiaskis explain what they do.
The amacetes, they burrow into the sand, into the substrate, and they'll filter feed off of the detritus in the river or the stream.
And what they're doing is the adults are smelling the amacetes that are upriver in those river systems. They're telling them, hey, that river system's good. There's a good spawning habit. That's where we want to go.
If all goes to plan, lamprey released here and in the Long Tom watershed area will start migrating to the Pacific Ocean around 2030. And come back as adults 4 years later. Critfic and partners have their work cut out for them. While lamprey once teemed in the millions through the Columbia River Basin, only 23,000 were recorded in 2010.
We want to welcome you guys to our annual lamprey celebration.
The PR side of things is on the up and up. Recently at the Clackamas RV Park in Oregon City, more than 1,200 people signed up for the annual Yakima Nation Willamette Falls Lamprey Celebration.
This is only the fifth year, and each year it gets bigger and bigger. Initially, there were maybe not even 100 people.
Jeremy Five Crows is with Critfic, which has also partnered with tribes and agencies like the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Bonneville Dam to support and promote lamprey. It's a half day of native music, boat tours of the falls, educational presentations, even a lunch with grilled lamprey. Critfic has revised its plan to improve lamprey populations. In a report released last year, they said they're frustrated by the lack of funding, staff, and accountability from states and federal agencies. They've added a two-part plan with technical documents for scientists, students, and resource managers, and a policy brief for lawmakers. Again, Jeremy Five Crows.
The lamprey has been around 450 million years. We're closer to a T-Rex than a T-Rex was to lamprey. That's how far back they go. So the thought of just in the past 100 years that we could drive something extinct that's been on Earth for that long is terrible.
I'm Brian Bull, reporting in Oregon City.
Oregon announced it was distributing nearly $100 million in federal funding for rural health care earlier this month. But some Eastern Oregon healthcare providers are still uncertain about the long-term outlook for their region. Antonio Sierra has more.
The windfall in federal funding was created by H.R. 1, Congressional Republicans' Tax and Spending Cut Bill. Some of that funding in Eastern Oregon will go toward technological upgrades at Harney District Hospital in Burns and a prescription delivery program at Winding Waters Medical Clinic in Wallowa County. Winding Waters CEO Nick Powers says he's excited to expand the clinic's pharmacy services. But he's nervous about 2027, when the state is expected to start feeling the effects of congressional cuts to Medicaid.
I think where we're headed is we'll just have to adapt as the conditions change.
The Oregon Health Authority estimates 200,000 Oregonians could lose their health insurance as a result of new Medicaid work requirements. Antonio Sierra reporting.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. American Democracy Minute is up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A U.S. District Court of Appeals has allowed President Donald Trump's executive order directing the U.S. Postal Service to verify the citizenship of mail-in voters to move forward, but other active cases argue it violates the U.S. Constitution. The NAACP filed the challenge as a violation of a 2020 decision against the USPS for ballot delivery slowdowns during the pandemic. The D.C. appeals panel granted a stay of the lower court's decision, which halted the president's directive to have USPS create state citizenship lists, then verify the eligibility of voters receiving and sending mail-in ballots. The court said the NAACP's complaint was, quote, neither constitutionally nor prudentially ripe for review. In other words, no harm had yet occurred, and the appeals panel allowed the Postal Service's preparations to continue. More challenges are coming. A Massachusetts federal district court ruled in June that no law enacted by Congress delegates authority to control mail-in voting to USPS, unquote. Under the Elections Clause, administration of elections is granted to the states and Congress, not the executive branch. Another case by the League of Women Voters argued, and the district court agreed, that the data to be used for the state citizenship list violates federal privacy statutes. We have more in the cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to KMUN.